and pro. Homes in some states legal. It's ugly. Ugly enough realizing that every single dead person's vote may very well cancel one of yours or mine. But then contemplate the hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of such thefts that collectively dilute equal numbers of your votes and mine. Racketeers seem to be actively targeting a massive state vote hijacking effort upon a crucial upcoming Georgia contest that will determine control of the United States Senate and, in many respects, our nation's future and perhaps even the future of the world. You think that's too strong? I don't think so. Former Democratic presidential candidate billionaire Andrew Yang is urging out-of-state party residents to temporarily move to Georgia for the sole purpose of defeating Republicans. Well, Georgia law, though, states that it's a felony to vote in Georgia elections if you're not a legal resident or if you're residing in the state briefly with the intention just to vote and then move away. But since when has illegality or even the charge of a felony kept the fraud from taking place? Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger issued a warning that groups who finance or organize such efforts to interfere with election integrity can be charged with committing fraud under Georgia's racketeering conspiracy laws with severe consequences. But what's the deal? What's at stake here? Well, according to this particular article coming from Larry Bell, something enormously large is at stake here. In fact, as I see it, it's far more enormously large than what Larry Bell, the author of this particular piece, envisions. That's something, he said, we stand to lose is the America we know, that we love and honor by protecting our priceless inherited privileges. But it's much more than that, friends. This is one major play, a battle in the war of the worlds. This is the major play in the battle for the war of the worlds. And what happens in this battle, not just regarding the Senate in Georgia, but what happens in this battle with regard to the resolution concerning the presidency, will most likely determine the destiny not only of this country, but of the world. It's the war of worlds. And so I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And when you are in a war, there are casualties, aren't there? Wars always have casualties. There are winners and there are losers, usually. But here's what I want to share with you before we move further, so that it lingers in your mind and in your heart as we discuss some of these on-the-ground issues. When God becomes man, man becomes God. When God becomes man, man becomes God. In other words, man can do whatever he wants with impunity because he's God. He becomes God all by himself. And collectively become gods all by ourselves and rule the world. Because we're gods. Now, that shouldn't be so far-fetched to understand when, on April 5th, 1993, Time magazine came out with its cover story. On the front cover was a cross, in the lower right-hand corner were these words, the generation that forgot God. Notice, forgot God, capital G, God. Now, they weren't talking about the generation that was going to forget God. They were talking about the generation that already had forgotten God. In other words, the generation that began in the 1970s, as the rebellion against all authority in the late 1960s began to metastasize throughout the culture. The sexual revolution began to metastasize throughout the entire culture, including the church, so that by the 1980s, those who were then controlling the culture actually had, for all practical purposes, become their own god. They had made a god in their own image. And so Time magazine, not known for its spiritual integrity or even insight, declared that by April 5th, 1993, that generation had already forgotten God. But that's not the rest of the story. The rest of the story is as you open the magazine to its cover story called The Church Search after Gulf War I, in which George Herbert Walker Bush had declared the New World Order, the first time any sitting president had used those words, declared in public the New World Order, which he did, by the way, 200 times after that during his administration. People were flooding back to church. They were afraid. Afraid amid Gulf War I. Patriotism was riding high at that time. People were putting yellow ribbons on trees, and it was quite a moving time, seemingly, in America. But here's what Time magazine discovered. Americans were not looking for God. Not really. They were looking for a custom-made God, one made in their own image. In other words, they were looking to themselves to be and become God. As Frank Sinatra said, I'll do it my way. Thank you very much. In other words, we become God. So the War of the Worlds, harking back to the famous radio program of H.G. Wells back in whenever it was, in the 1940s, 50s, that echoed up and down the East Coast, and people became panicked, thinking that it was real. So we're using that same terminology, the War of the Worlds. But the War of the Worlds is far bigger, far deeper, far more substantive, far more egregious, far more consequential than H.G. Wells ever foresaw, and that most people are foreseeing today. Because what we're seeing playing out is something biblical. So when Sidney Powell said she was going to file a lawsuit of biblical proportions, maybe she was right. I don't know whether her whole lawsuit was of biblical proportions or not. But what I'm sharing with you today is of biblical proportions. Why? Because it is going to reflect and how you can understand, we can all understand, the gravity of this governmental heist that's taking place. Its effect on not only our election, but on the entire world. It's a spiritual reflection, friends. In fact, it's prophetic. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Today we talk about the War of the Worlds right here on Viewpoint. This is not a matter of world view. This is a matter of God view. It really distresses me that the majority of Christian observers and talk show hosts and even leaders, pastors, continually talk about worldview, worldview, worldview. Our problem is not our worldview, friends. Our problem is our God view. Whatever worldview we have is proceeding from our God view. And that we don't really want to talk about. We would rather talk about the worldview, because then we can get closer to the secular rather than the spiritual. But the real problem is our God view. I hope you'll consider that in the future as you hear people talk about worldview this and worldview that. The real issue is not worldview, it's God view. I want to share with you just a couple of notes that people have sent just this month. Sometimes I think that would be encouraging to other listeners. And so here are just some excerpts from a couple of notes received just in the last few days. I am so grateful for your transforming ministry. I delight to share your broadcasts and website with fellow believers and prayer warriors for the cause and kingdom of Christ. Then another, thank you for sowing seeds of truth into the lives of many hanging for truth, or hungering for truth, actually, and righteousness in their hearts and homes. Your books and broadcast are such a blessing. After reading The Lawsuit, I fell on my face and wept because of conviction. I consider giving to Save America a blessed privilege. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for encouraging believers toward holiness and vibrant, truthful living in Christ. Eternally grateful. And so we appreciate your comments. We appreciate your thoughts. Some come by email, some by snail mail. And here's one that I think is worthy of sharing with you. I've been blessed by your ministry for years, both in person and via the radio. There are so few people willing to preach and teach God's word without fear and favor. Thank you for being willing to step on my toes from time to time. As we see the falling away from the faith and apostasy continuing to grow throughout the world, the only thing we can rely on is God's word. So keep preaching, pleading, begging sinners to repent and be saved. God bless you in Jesus Christ. Well, thank you so much, folks. I have quite a number of notes here, but those are at least indicative of the feelings and thoughts and response of so many. We appreciate that. It shows us that the program really does make a difference. We're discipling for destiny, preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective, and we intend to continue on until Jesus comes, or until God's people no longer continue to underwrite and help finance as partners what we're doing. And since God is not a heavenly counterfeiter, he doesn't create money and drop it in from heaven, so he moves upon the hearts of people whose hearts are stirred, and he urges them by his Spirit to give. And when they're obedient, then God uses them as a kingdom conduit rather than a kingdom reservoir. And the more they're willing to give, the more God is willing to trust them. And faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they begin to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And they become part of the kingdom economy, and God blesses and he encourages. And that is how his kingdom comes. Well, we want to move back into this discussion concerning not just America's election, but that's where we start. That's where we're starting. And then we advance from there to the much, much bigger picture. Because this is a matter of the war of the worlds, not just a war of Democrats and Republicans or whoever the people are out there, liberals, conservatives, independents. That's not where the battle is. That's not the real battle. Some I think it is, but that's not the real battle. The real battle is far greater than that, far more serious than that. And a lot of people don't realize it. Even those that are involved out there as henchmen in the battle don't realize it. Here's a headline. Ballot fraud hits mass scale in broad daylight. Only days ago, John Daniel Davidson, political editor for the Federalist, reported on an illegal cash-for-vote scheme that was hiding in plain sight in Nevada amid sworn allegations of vote fraud in favor of Democrat Joe Biden. Native American voter advocacy groups handed out gift cards, electronics, clothing, and other items to voters in tribal areas in exchange for votes. Friends, that's called a bribe. Now, Davidson reports, the Nevada Native Vote Project was just one of many supposedly nonpartisan organizations engaged in vote bribing and illegal electioneering, all under the thin guise of GoTV campaigns. Similar efforts in as many as half a dozen other states, including every major battleground state, were undertaken by groups that worked hand-in-hand with Joe Biden campaign to deliver votes for Democrats. Danielson said that while such fraud happens in each election, this time it took place on a mass scale in broad daylight, sometimes with the actual cooperation of state officials. Whether the election actually was stolen from President Trump or not, he said, there is a bigger issue. Now, everybody has their own viewpoint as to what that bigger issue is. Here is his. It does mean something perhaps worse, that unless we fix this, Americans will never trust our elections again. He's right. In fact, right now, Americans don't trust their elections. Did you know that right now, the latest poll shows that 75% of Democrats think the election was stolen by Joe Biden? Are you listening? 75% of Democrats, the recent poll, concludes that they believe that this election was stolen from Donald Trump by Joe Biden, or by those who were representing Joe Biden, that is. I can't confirm or deny that. I can only tell you what the latest poll and report says. That tells us that the trust of the American people, whether Democrat, Republican, or whatever, has been so seriously compromised as to undermine the entire Democratic Republic and the flag that we pledge allegiance to. Remember, I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands? Yeah. That's all been seriously compromised now. All for power, perks, and position. But all for a much, much bigger goal. It's not just about winning this election. It's not just about whether a Democrat or Republican will be in office. It's about something much, much bigger, friends. It's the battle of the worlds. This is the battle that the scriptures foretold was going to take place just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, he just didn't use that term, war of the worlds, because it's a spiritual war. Who will be king of the mountain? Who will be king of the mountain? That is, who will rule and reign from God's holy mountain? That's ultimately what it's about. Now, you can frame it in terms of globalism, because that is one of the major aspects of this war. It's not just about America. It's not just about who will sit in the White House. Because whoever sits in the White House, other than Donald Trump, is going to be a globalist. That's the reason they hated Donald Trump. Remember, because he was an anti-globalist, and they were intent on turning America over to a one-world order. That's what Hillary Clinton was intent on doing. That's what the Bush family was doing. And that's what Bill Clinton was doing. That's what Barack Hussein Obama was doing. And even Republican elites were intent on doing that. And when Donald Trump came out and said, we're going to make America great again, that's where our real responsibility is. I'm called to be the president of the United States, not the president of Europe or the president of a one world government. They said, no way, no how. We're going to take you down. That's what it's about. Now, we've said that before. If you're just listening now, you'll understand. That is what it's about. But it's more than just that. From God's viewpoint, it's about the world arrogating itself against God as the ruler. So when God becomes a man from man's viewpoint, then man himself becomes God. And that's when all hell breaks through. That's when Satan begins to rule. When man thinks he's God, then God is pushed out. And Satan, the hellion, comes in to do his worst dastardly deeds, just as the ancient prophets and the apostles and Christ foretold. Now, Sidney Powell, the attorney, had an interview with Newsmax TV. And she said the $107 million contract awarded by Georgia for Dominion voting systems should be thoroughly investigated for potential benefits being paid to family members of those who signed the contract. Now, Sidney Powell is a former federal prosecutor. She said there should be an investigation, a thorough criminal investigation, of everyone involved in acquiring the Dominion voting system for the state of Georgia. And she said, frankly, for every other state, given how appalling the system is and the fact it was designed to manipulate the votes and destroy the real votes of American citizens who were casting legal votes. By the way, that's the reason why Texas three times rejected the Dominion voting system, because it was corrupt and corrupting. But others wanted to use it for their nefarious deeds and purposes. So we have ballot fraud hitting on a mass scale in broad daylight. Then we also have this report, more votes than voters in key swing states. Now that should be evidence enough. More votes than people who voted in key swing states in the 2020 presidential election. That itself is enough evidence. That's prima facie evidence that fraud has taken place. Then we're told that faith now is taking the forefront as Georgia Senate runoffs heat up. This is how the matter of our Christian faith is used in blasphemous ways. Bishop Reginald Jackson stepped to the microphone at a drive-in rally outside a church in southwest Atlanta as his voice carried over a loudspeaker to people gathered in, around, and on top of cars that filled the parking lot. Here's what he said. Let's keep Georgia blue. Let's elect John Ossoff, Raphael Warnock to the United States Senate. The presiding bishop of more than 400 African Methodist Episcopal churches in Georgia added a pastoral flourish by saying, if I have a witness, somebody say amen. Friends, this is blasphemy. This is using your supposed authority to be a pastor representing God's eternal truth, to use it for an obscene purpose, and that is to elect two individuals that are fundamentally contrary to the word, will, and ways of God, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, not to mention the fact that Raphael Warnock claims to be a reverend. Just because he claims to be a reverend doesn't mean he is. When faith is co-opted in this fashion for issues contrary to the Word of God, you know that blasphemy is taking place. That's serious, friends. Very serious. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Before we continue on, I want to make two books available to you, which will help you to understand far more deeply the fullness of the dimensions that are taking place from a spiritual standpoint. The book, the first is called King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic and End Time Battle. For it is said that he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. In that book, I lay out how the leaders of the world, particularly of the great nations of the earth and the former, nations that once ruled the world, like the Ottoman Empire, the Persian Empire, and so on, which is now Iran, and Russia actually is one of them, and China, all of these are moving now to rule the world, including the papacy, including the papacy. Did you know that deep within the archives of the papacy is the confirmation, conviction in the dogma of the Roman Catholic Church that the Pope is King of Kings? Did you know that he is believed to be the king of all civil government in the world, of all presidents and prime ministers and potentates? Did you know that? Did you know that the papacy has been seeking over the past 20 years to glom together authority over all of the precise places that are most notable for where Jesus conducted some of the most major aspects of his ministry, so that the Pope then becomes the one to walk those spots and indeed ultimately to sit upon the throne of David on the Temple Mount? Did you know that? I bet you didn't. But it's all laid out in the book. It's all laid out in the book, King of the Mountain. But that's not the only thing that's laid out there. There is also something called the New World Order or the Global Government, which is a Western world enterprise. That is the effort of the Western world, the former Roman world, European, America, South America, North America, Australia, New Zealand, the entire so-called West or Western world that is being drawn together for a one-world government. When they talk about a one-world government, that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about China. Now, China is talking about a one-world government and intends, within about 28 years from now, to rule the world. Xi Jinping has made it very clear that's his intent and is working triple time to accomplish it. Just in the last day or two, a very famous Chinese authority declared that the coronavirus has actually catapulted Chinese efforts to rule the world
farther down the track than ever they could have imagined against the Western world and against America. But the book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle, you've never read a book like it. It has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of citations. It'll grab you. And you will understand the dynamics of what is really taking place. You'll begin to see things that are happening that seem so disjointed. And you begin to see how they tie together. It's a $20 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Write a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, the other book is Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. And in that book, everything that is set forth as a foundation in King of the Mountain. Now, I'm not saying it's all repeated, but I'm saying it builds upon that now to show how the counterfeit Christ, the imposter, the Antichrist, will gain dominion. What he looks like, how he can be identified. We're not talking about just the mark of the beast. Not talking about a lot of speculation. We're talking about what the Bible says about it, not speculation. This is not a sensationalist book. It's a book to help the reader come to grips in their own life with this master deceiver who is intent on taking every single one on this planet to perdition. That's his goal. He says, if I'm going to have to go to perdition, then you are too. Simple as that. $22 book. Again, I seriously doubt you've read anything like it. It's not the way most books are written concerning Antichrist. It's a book that has implications for you and for me. $22 book. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Again, if you're writing a check, at $5 for postage and handling. And if you want both of the books at the same time, it'll only be $7 postage and handling, $5 for the first and $2 for the second. So a total of $7, so you'll save $3 that way. Okay, now let us move forward because we're talking about the War of the Worlds. This article comes from the World Tribune, Alexander Mastrovi. He says, the new utopians, like the old, are plunging the world into chaos and hatred. And he's right. Now, who are these new utopians? The new utopians are the globalists. The new utopians are the AOCs of the world. The new utopians are the Bernie Sanders of the world. The new utopians are the John Kerrys of the world. Yes, the new utopians are the globalists. One thing has remained unchanged, the passionate faith of the Western elite in utopian perverted theories of all sorts and kinds. As a result, in the 21st century, once again, the world has entered a vicious cycle of revolution and reaction. Friends, that's what you're seeing in the streets of America. Because of the globalists and progressives, the Western world is plunging into chaos and hatred. Now, why is that being done? You see, we have to ask the question, why? It's not just what, it's why. The reason why is because it is believed that that is what needs to happen in order to be able to convert America, which is the strongest democratic republic out there, to convert America and the rest of the Western world into a global government. They have to destroy the memory of the young people. That's why over Thanksgiving, these same people destroyed many more monuments in America. Why? Because if our young people have memory of our heritage, which includes God as the motivating force of that heritage, then they can be brought to a place where they have nothing left to hold on to but hope in a godless government. In other words, where man becomes God. An article came out of the World Tribune just a couple days ago, asking the question, is it illegal to steal an election? In an era of Trump derangement syndrome and COVID insanity, what should be an obvious answer for many is not obvious at all. Most Americans seem to be lost in a blue haze of blind acceptance that whatever they are told by the talking heads on TV must be true. This kind of unthinking obedience to authority is a frightening harbinger of an America that is no longer a nation of laws, but rather a nation of edicts. You can already see that the unfolding in the sheep-like acceptance of COVID-19 restrictions that blatantly ignore the Constitution. But if you dare do your own independent assessment of facts, whether regarding the efficacy of a mask in its use is preventing spread of coronavirus, or regarding the security of electronic voting, you will quickly come to a different conclusion than that which is approved by big tech, big media, and big money. Not enough people actually take the time to do their own research, or to use their minds, by the way. They simply believe whatever they're told. They have no foundation, friends. They have no education. They have no rootedness in God or His Word. And so they believe whatever they're told. And they have set up authorities that are contrary to the authority of God's Word. Now, the same thing is happening in the Catholic Church as a whole. For instance, a Catholic cardinal says Karl Marx is a source of Catholic social teaching. Really? A Catholic cardinal saying Karl Marx is a source of Catholic social teaching? Well, yes. That's exactly what Pope Francis believes. That's how it is coming into the Catholic Church. Yet another article writer says there is no Catholic case for communism. True. So, where do we go from here? Marco Rubio came out with a piece saying it's up to us to stop communist China's anti-faith agenda. Well, how about America's anti-faith agenda? That's maybe what we need to look at next. Because it's laying the foundation for the war of the worlds and a one-world government. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking about the War of Worlds, the War of the Worlds here today on Viewpoint, and what it really looks like what we're dealing with in terms of the election is not just about America. It's not just about occupying the White House. It's about controlling God's house, ultimately, from the Temple Mount. That's what it's really about, ultimately. That's the bigger picture that's involved. Now, it's very hard to see that if you don't see it through the eyes of Scripture or from God's eyes. If you just look at it as a worldview issue and not a God view issue, then you miss it. What do you make of the fact that the governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, came out this last weekend and ordered people to tattle to the police on their neighbors if they gathered in groups more than whatever it was, six people in their homes? What do you make of it when the governor, I think it was of Vermont, said that he's going to order, maybe it could have been New Jersey or Vermont, said that he's going to order and have teachers, starting today, have teachers inquire of their students whether or not what happened during their Thanksgiving time to see if more than whatever it was, six people gathered in their home for Thanksgiving. In other words, to use the children as spies on their families. What does that smack of to you? 1984, George Orwell, if you read the book, absolutely. Isn't this like Stalin's KGB? Isn't this like Hitler's Stasi? Isn't this like what will be necessary in order to control anyone who disagrees with the global vision to merge the world, especially the Western world, into a one world order? Absolutely. And all of these edicts have a spiritual component. Many of them are just direct. You're not going to go to church. So, some say, well, you can get together as a church, but you can't get together as a bar. So one church decided to incorporate as a 501c3. Excuse me, one bar decided to call itself a church. And then another pastor of a legitimate church decided to call himself and his church a strip club. Are you beginning to see where this is going? This is a war, friends. It's a war on true followers of Christ. It's a war on fundamental beliefs. It's a war on family relationships. What do you make of the fact that an Australian court has taken away the daughter of legitimate parents and called them abusive because they refused to allow their daughter to receive shots of testosterone to convert her into a boy? They took the child away from the parents. This is what happens, friends, when God becomes man. Then man becomes God. And you think freedom is resting on this election by electing, by pursuing an election that is filled with fraud in order to try to have some measure of peace on the short term? You've got to be kidding me. What we're talking about here is deadly, deadly serious. No, we can't save the world by politics, but we can certainly preserve certain elements in order that we can get our lives right. In the meantime, can I hear an amen? I hope so. Now, we've talked about the Great Reset. John Kerry, selected by Joe Biden last week to head up the climate, to be the climate czar for Joe Biden, made this statement. He said that Joe Biden is the door through which the new world order or new global order will take place. Did you hear that? That, my friends, is not a political statement. It's a spiritual statement at its root. I have in my hands one of the recent issues of the Epoch Times under Opinion and Business. It's called Election Fallout Reveals Battle Between Freedom and Communism. Well, indeed, it does reveal a battle between freedom and communism. But the battle is even greater than that. That's how secular people look at it. Many Americans believe communism is an abstract concept that only affects faraway nations without realizing it has already arrived on our doorstep. Communism has spread in America under names such as socialism, progressivism, liberalism, neo-Marxism, and so on, in a slow process over decades of systematic subversion by first the Soviet Union and now the Chinese Communist Party. This cumulative battle, notice the word battle, for future of America and with it the rest of the world is now coming to a head in the U.S. presidential election. That's why I called this the War of the World. This nation was founded on the belief that we are all created equal by God and endowed by the Creator with our rights. The U.S. motto is "In God We Trust." Belief in God and the principles derived from that belief are the fundamental reasons why the United States can enjoy freedom, democracy, and prosperity. In this great tradition, voting is a sacred duty in which each citizen may take responsibility for who governs. This year, a record number of Americans voted to choose their next leader. But we have since learned that this process has been subverted. One of the two major U.S. parties, the Democratic Party, is no longer the political party it used to be. Over the decades, it has gradually been infiltrated by the same Marxist ideology that has created the most brutal and repressive communist regimes in history, including socialism and its associated ideas. It's not a normal ideology. It is the ideology that has caused the unnatural deaths of at least 100 million people. The communist ideology uses seemingly righteous concepts such as equality and political correctness to confuse people. Its ideology has infiltrated all fields in our society, including education, media, and art. It unscrupulously destroys everything that is traditional, including faith, religion, morality, culture, family, art, education, law, and so on, and leads people to fall into moral depravity. This is the ideology of totalitarianism, one that drives once thriving nations into the abyss. This is not only undermining people's spirits and their righteous faith in God, but is dragging the American people and all of mankind to the brink of danger. I would call it the brink of disaster. And a one-world godless government to arrogate itself over everything that is God. Dr. Michael Brown responds to this, and he says the only way out of the current crisis, allow me to state the obvious, barring divine intervention, which would include the miraculous changing of the hearts of millions of people, there's no good outcome to the current electoral crisis, absolutely none. If by some miracle Trump still prevails and wins re-election, the outcry will be greater than anything we've seen yet. Greater riots, probably, that have convulsed our country this last year. Greater riots than 1968. Greater than anything our history short of the Civil War, perhaps. After all, if legitimate election in 2016 was fought tooth and nail for the last 4 years, what would happen if the courts pronounced him president for another 4 years? Politics and on the streets would be intense beyond words, in fact hysterical, he says. So how can we survive in a state like this? For the moment, we face two ghastly alternatives. On the one hand, if the Trump team is right, a massive electoral fraud has been perpetrated right in front of our eyes. The kind of wide-scale corruption associated with dictators and despots, like the type of elections for which Stalin's Russia was famous. That's why the Trump team made reference to the country like Venezuela. Frauds like this are supposed to take place in countries like that, not here in the U.S. We're supposed to be exposing corruption. It would be staggering to think that something this grave, this wide-scale, this dishonest could take place right here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Could a secret fraudulent system literally steal an election from Donald Trump? Could more than 70 million voters be disenfranchised of their rights? On the other hand, if these allegations are false, then tens of millions of these same voters are believing some of the most egregious lies imaginable. The possibility of either prospect being true is absolutely frightening, and if one is false, the other must be true. And that's why, he said, I said there's no good outcome to the current electoral crisis. My big question, he says, is not what will be the final outcome of the elections or how will the nation respond. But the question I'm asking is much bigger and of infinitely greater consequence. What is God doing in the midst of the crisis? What plan is he working out? What is our Father up to? Surely he's not sitting idly by twiddling his thumbs. And that in turn leads to a question for you and for me. It's the question that matters most, since at this point in time, there's nothing you and I could do to alter the outcome of the election. We can't cast another vote. A letter to our congressman's not going to help. Petitioning the courts will have no value, yet there seems something we can do. How am I to live, to act, to treat my neighbor? What would be the priorities of my life? In a time of unprecedented crisis, how does the Lord want me to behave and to live? On the one hand, although I live with a sense of divine urgency, writes Dr. Brown, I am also at peace because I know God is King, working out his plan in the midst of a chaotic and rebellious world. I like what Dr. Brown has said here, friend of this broadcast, endorser of our book. But for God to be king, for Christ to be king, he has to have subjects. And for you and I to be a subject of the king means more than to say we believe him. It means that we behave as if we believe him. That's the Hebraic meaning of the word believe. That's why Jesus said, not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to inherit the kingdom, but they that do the will of my Father. That's why James, the brother of Jesus, said, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Friends, this is a moment of profound testing. It's a matter of profound testing for the war of the worlds in our own hearts. Because ultimately, your heart and mind becomes the temple mount. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, ultimately. Does he? So, how would anybody know that your heart or mind was the temple mount of God? Paul said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? In other words, how are we living? Are we living in such a way, in recognition that the war of the worlds is taking place right in front of us, the very thing that the ancient prophets and Jesus himself foretold to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour? Are we actually taking that seriously? Most are not. Most are just looking at this as just an election combat. Oh no, my friend. It's prophetic. But for many, it's pathetic. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, friends. Do it today. Don't delay. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.